Today, Metro Weekly brings you a collective update of news and legislation that impacts the lives of transgender Americans. Stories include a New York pizzeria worker's lawsuit against personal discrimination, then a proposed ban on trans Olympic athletes, followed by Ohio's rollback of trans healthcare restrictions, and finishing up with a transgender community group settlement from South Dakota.
We begin in New York, with Metro Weekly's post titled, Pizzeria Pays $25,000 to Settle Trans Worker's Lawsuit. Transgender cook claimed managers and co-workers misgendered him, asked invasive questions, and compared him to a pedophile. By John Riley, on February 7, 2024. The owners of a Buffalo-area pizzeria recently agreed to pay $25,000 to settle a lawsuit brought on behalf of a transgender man formerly employed by the restaurant. Last month, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which brought the lawsuit against T.C. Wheeler's Bar and Pizzeria in Tonawanda, New York, on behalf of former cook Quinn Gambino, announced the settlement agreement. The lawsuit stemmed from verbal harassment and abuse that Gambino was subjected to from restaurant managers and co-workers between January and May 2021. According to the EEOC's lawsuit, the owners and staff of the restaurant, as well as customers, repeatedly misgendered Gambino, who noted that he was male and did not reveal his transgender status when he first applied for the job. Management and co-workers repeatedly referred to Gambino with female pronouns, made crude and derogatory references to Gambino's gender identity, including telling him he wasn't a real man, and asking invasive questions about his genitalia and transition, including whether he took steroids when he was younger. The lawsuit also alleged that managers and co-workers made remarks to Gambino that equated being transgender to being a pedophile. The EEOC also alleged that the restaurant owners failed to take action to correct the behavior of its employees and stop the harassment, despite Gambino lodging complaints with his manager. The harassment continued for months until Gambino was compelled to resign, reports the Buffalo News. Gambino subsequently filed a complaint with the EEOC, alleging he was subjected to discrimination. After determining that there was a reasonable likelihood that the restaurant had violated Gambino's civil rights, the EEOC first attempted to reach a pre-litigation settlement with the restaurant. When no agreement could be reached, the EEOC sued on Gambino's behalf. In the lawsuit, the EEOC alleged that the restaurant's failure to address the harassment violated Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits sex-based discrimination in work environments. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 2020 that Title VII's prohibitions apply to instances of discrimination based on a person's gender identity and gender expression. As part of the settlement, T.C. Wheeler's agreed to pay Gambino $3,482.31 in back wages and $21,517.69 in compensatory damages. The settlement, which will be enforceable over the next 3 years, also provides that T.C. Wheeler's institutes and enforces equal employment policies aimed at preventing sex-based discrimination and harassment, including discrimination or harassment against transgender individuals. To ensure compliance, T.C. Wheeler's has hired an independent human resources monitor to supervise and investigate all employee complaints. That monitor will also provide annual reports to the EEOC to ensure that the restaurant abides by the settlement terms, and the EEOC will retain the right to inspect the company's business records and premises to ensure compliance. Additionally, all owners, managers, and employees of T.C. Wheeler's will be required to complete training on federal anti-discrimination laws, with the intent of educating them and curbing problematic behavior to prevent further incidents of anti-transgender abuse and harassment.
We look to the U.S. Congress now, where Republicans want trans athletes banned from the Olympics. A pair of Republicans in Congress have introduced a bill to ban transgender athletes from women's sports at the Olympic and amateur levels. By John Riley, on February 8, 2024, congressional Republicans have introduced a new bill to ban transgender athletes from participating for any U.S. sports teams taking part in international competitions. Last week, U.S. Representative Greg Stube, Republican for Florida, and U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican for Alabama, introduced versions of the Protection of Women in Olympic and Amateur Sports Act in their respective chambers. The bill would ban transgender women from participating on any team recognized by the U.S. Olympic Committee. Previously, the International Olympic Committee's guidelines required all women who competed, whether transgender or cisgender, to maintain a low level of testosterone, lower than 10 nanomoles per liter of blood, for at least 1 year prior to competing. As a result, some female athletes, women with higher than normal testosterone levels, like two-time South African Olympic gold medalist Caster Semenya, were forced to take medication to reduce the competitive edge they held against fellow women athletes. In 2021, the IOC issued an updated policy in which the governing bodies of individual sports would determine whether an athlete was eligible to compete. More recently, it has been suggested that transgender athletes should only be allowed to compete if they never underwent male puberty or completed their transition by age 12. Yet it is unclear what is meant by completing transition, and whether that would require gender confirmation surgery or just hormonal interventions. If the latter, a vast majority of transgender athletes would still be excluded, as they would have had to be out and receiving puberty blockers or hormones by age 12. If the former, all transgender athletes would be excluded, as gender confirmation surgery is not performed on minors. The Congressional Republicans cited their disagreement with USA Boxing's recently adopted eligibility policy, which technically allows transgender women to compete as women, but places significant restrictions that will essentially prevent most transgender athletes from competing as women. Among those restrictions are a requirement to have undergone gender confirmation surgery and demonstrate that an athlete's testosterone level has been below 5 nanomoles per liter for at least 48 months prior to competing. The policy also imposes separate restrictions for transgender males, including a requirement to undergo gender confirmation surgery and maintain their testosterone levels in a certain range. But even though USA Boxing's policy would, in practice, prohibit an overwhelming majority of trans athletes from competing, Republicans balked at the idea that any trans female might potentially compete, and pointed to the policy as justification for the bill. It is deeply disturbing to see USA Boxing change its policy to allow men to box against women, Tuberville said in a statement. Men should not be competing in women's sports at any level, and especially not in a sport like boxing. Whether in Little League or the Olympics, it's unsafe, it's unfair, and it's just plain wrong. This bill will ensure that the Olympics are fair to American women who train their whole lives to represent our country on the world stage. If passed into law, Tuberville and Stubbs bills would not only ban trans women from U.S. Olympic teams, but from competing in amateur sports leagues that are recognized by the U.S. Olympic Committee. For example, in the case of USA Boxing, to remain certified, the governing body for the sport would have to overhaul its own rules and institute an across-the-board ban on transgender athletes, requiring all competitors to compete based on their assigned sex at birth. Defenders of the proposed legislation say it's necessary to protect the integrity of sports and ensure that cisgender females are not denied athletic opportunities by being forced to compete against athletes who have physical or physiological advantages over them. Due to the illogical USA Boxing transgender policy, I introduced legislation to prevent organizations who choose to live in delusion from being recognized by the U.S. Olympic Committee, Stubbs said in a press release. We must combat the erasure of women's sports by standing for truth, reality, safety, and fairness. Stubbs previously introduced a bill to ban transgender athletes from competing in women's sports at all levels. That bill passed along party lines in the Republican-controlled House but has gained no traction in the Democratic-led Senate.
Some good news in our third story today. Ohio rolls back restrictions on trans health care. Following a public outcry, the Ohio Department of Health will rescind several proposed rules blocking access to gender-affirming care, by John Riley, on February 14, 2024. The Ohio Department of Health rolled back several rules and regulations that would have restricted access to gender-affirming medical care for transgender adults. In January, Republican Governor Mike DeWine directed the department and the State Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services to file rules for public comment to ensure that individuals do not pursue a gender transition hastily. DeWine's order served as a concession to opponents of gender-affirming care after he vetoed a bill that would prohibit doctors from prescribing gender-affirming treatments to transgender minors. The Republican-led legislature overrode his veto. The law is set to take effect in April. However, opponents of the law, including the American Civil Liberties Union, could sue and potentially obtain an injunction that would block state authorities from enforcing the ban. Among the proposed regulations were a ban on surgical interventions on people under age 18, a requirement for state agencies to gather and report on data regarding the effects of gender-affirming treatments, and measures meant to slow-walk a person's transition by requiring them to receive adequate counseling before pursuing gender-affirming care. Under those measures, patients younger than 21 would have had to receive at least 6 months of mental health counseling before pursuing transition-related care. Healthcare facilities would have been unable to administer care to transgender people of any age without a treatment plan created and approved by a team of psychiatrists, endocrinologists, and medical ethicists. The restrictions drew fire from transgender advocates, who argued that they would force smaller or independent clinics, which lack the financial resources to hire specialists like medical ethicists, to close. They also argued that the limited number of medical or mental health professionals who would be permitted to provide care to patients would create significant backlogs for patients seeking to comply with the regulations. This would create additional obstacles to accessing gender-affirming care and further delay a person's transition. The proposed rules were also largely panned by the larger public. Thousands of individuals submitted more than 6,800 pages of emails commenting on the regulations, according to the Ohio Capital Journal. In response to overwhelmingly negative feedback, the Ohio Department of Health announced on February 7 that it was striking several of the proposed restrictions on gender-affirming care. The department is grateful to those individuals and organizations who took time to offer comments as we seek to adopt rules to protect Ohio's children, the department wrote in a memo. Having reviewed the submitted comments and considered the feedback, the department has revised the proposed rules. Among the revisions are a clarification that any data collected regarding the short and long-term effects of gender-affirming treatments will not identify individual patients. Moreover, restrictions on the type of care individuals can receive, where they can receive it, and the mental health counseling and treatment plan requirements will only apply to minors. Also, under the revision, the types of medical and mental health professionals who can administer gender-affirming treatments have been expanded and modified. The Department of Health also clarified that the requirement for review of a personal treatment plan by a medical ethicist was never applicable to individual patient care plans, but rather to institutional operations. But to avoid confusion, the ethicist requirement has been removed. Provisions remaining in place are the requirement that transgender minors undergo 6 months of mental health counseling before being prescribed puberty blockers or hormones, and one prohibiting doctors from referring minor patients to out-of-state facilities for gender confirmation surgeries in order to circumvent Ohio's ban on the practice.
For our final post, we turn to the Midwest, where South Dakota will pay trans group $300,000 for contract breach. State apologizes for a health services contract that was canceled after Governor Kristi Noem was questioned about it by a conservative news outlet. The state of South Dakota has issued an apology letter and paid $300,000 to a transgender advocacy group for abruptly canceling a State Department of Health contract with the group. The payment and apology are part of an agreement reached between South Dakota and the Transformation Project to settle a federal lawsuit alleging that the state discriminated against the organization in violation of provisions contained in the Affordable Care Act prohibiting anti-LGBTQ discrimination. The Transformation Project had signed a $136,000 contract with the state, paid for with federal funds, to provide community health worker services to the LGBTQ community from its Sioux Falls headquarters. But Republican Governor Kristi Noem canceled the contract on December 16, 2022, after being questioned about it by a reporter from the Daily Signal, a publication of the Conservative Heritage Foundation. The reporter had been asking about a gender identity summit that the group had planned to host with rural healthcare provider Sanford Health. The summit was intended to examine the unique healthcare concerns of transgender patients and the mental and physical services they might need. The aim would be to improve communication between patients and doctors. Due to conservative furor over contracting with a transgender advocacy group, South Dakota Department of Health Secretary Joan Adam abruptly announced her retirement days later, though neither she nor the state would confirm the reasons for her departure. The South Dakota Department of Health subsequently released a statement alleging that the Transformation Project had failed to uphold its end of the contract by failing to file proper status update reports. At the time, a spokesperson for Noem claimed that the governor was unaware of the group or the contract and denounced the organization's mission of providing services to the transgender community. The Transformation Project denied those accusations and sued the state for breach of contract, calling the allegations false and an attempt to apply a thin gloss of contract law to the state's discriminatory actions in the lawsuit. It also accused Noem of caving to political pressure in order to pander to conservatives, who have embraced opposition to transgender identity as an issue that galvanizes the Republican base. South Dakota's decision to cancel the contract was based purely on national politics, lawyers for the Transformation Project wrote in the lawsuit. The state knew about and initially supported TTP's mission. In fact, the state told TTP to request more money than it originally sought. The other plaintiff in the lawsuit, Jack Fonder, is a community health worker hired using the funds from the contract, under which the Transformation Project agreed to assist members of the transgender community with health system navigation, health promotion, coaching, and educational services. The grant that provided the funding had been earmarked specifically for certain targeted groups historically marginalized or lacking in health literacy, including members of the LGBTQ community.
The organization has sought other ways to fund Fonder's position, including asking for donations.
According to the South Dakota Searchlight, the settlement agreement reached between the state and the Transformation Project spells out the rationale for the $300,000 payment, which is more than double the amount of the canceled contract and can be used to cover attorney's fees associated with the cost of bringing the lawsuit. Under the agreement, South Dakota agrees not to discriminate against the Transformation Project in violation of state or federal law with respect to any service, program, or activity that the state provides. However, the state does not admit liability for the claims made in the lawsuit. Instead, it must only admit that it treated the Transformation Project differently from other similarly situated community organizations providing health services.
The Transformation Project celebrated the settlement. "We are vindicated as the government has acknowledged what we knew the very day we learned of our contract's cancellation, that we did not break any procedures and we did not fail to meet the terms of the CHW contract in any way," Williams said in a statement. To put it simply, the government canceled our contract because of the very population we serve, the transgender community. Williams added that the Transformation Project will continue applying for future contracts with the state. "When our organization became a target of discrimination, we knew that we had to fight back, not just on behalf of our community health worker, but on behalf of the entire population of transgender people across South Dakota," Williams said. "This settlement sends some clear and strong messages, that discrimination against transgender people will not be tolerated in South Dakota, and that when the government discriminates against transgender people, there are consequences. We hope that this is a message that reverberates across our state."
Thanks for being part of our listener family. At MetroWeekly.com, we hope you found these stories to be of interest and importance. If so, please do subscribe and hit like, share or leave a comment to help make it possible for us to reach more listeners. Visit our site for more posts like this.